Hi, I'm Carl Azus for CNN. This is our last week on the air in our spring broadcasting season. So after this Friday, we'll be working behind the scenes until The Daily Show resumes in August. First up, more American assistance is on the way to the nation of Ukraine. The two countries are not officially allies through the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Ukraine's not a member of NATO. But the U.S. has been a leading supporter of Ukraine as it fights the invasion launched by Russia in February. While on a trip to Asia, U.S. President Joe Biden signed a bill to provide $40 billion in new assistance to Ukraine. It includes military equipment and humanitarian aid for the European country. This is in addition to the $13.6 billion that Congress approved for Ukraine in March. These packages have had bipartisan backing from Democrats and many Republicans on Capitol Hill. The president says they're a sign of strong support for Ukraine as it defends itself from Russia, but some Republicans say the U.S. is spending too much to help Ukraine, that it should be selling the nation weapons instead, and that European countries should be spending more to support Ukraine. Meanwhile, a product from Europe is arriving to help out with a problem in the United States. That problem is a widespread shortage of baby formula. One of America's largest manufacturing plants was shut down in February over safety concerns, and it won't be able to reopen for at least another week. 70,000 pounds of formula landed in America from Switzerland yesterday, and President Biden says his administration's working around the clock to get it to people in need, but critics say that administration waited too long and moved too slowly in taking action.
Here at Ramstein Air Force Base, we've been watching service members putting together these pallets. You can see them all throughout here. It's 1.5 million bottles, each bottle 8 ounces. 1.5 million bottles of baby formula being sent by a European company to the United States. The Department of Defense is doing the shipping. Let's take a look at what they're sending. If you look at this, you can see it says Nestle, that's a Swiss company, Alfamino, that's a formula that's hypoallergenic. That's because a lot of the children in the United States, their parents who are having trouble finding formula, often those children have particular medical conditions or they have allergies and they're looking for a particular kind of formula, like a hypoallergenic formula. So there's a lot of hope that this could help families in the U.S. Now, we want to be clear-eyed about this. As great as it is to have these 1.5 million bottles, this will not solve the infant formula shortage. There are other steps that are being taken too, but even all put together, this will not solve anything. Hopefully it will alleviate it to some extent, but as far as getting those shelves full again, that could take many, many, many weeks.
In the United States, fuel is at its highest price ever. The AAA Automobile Association says the latest record for a gallon of gasoline was set on Sunday at more than $4.59 per gallon on average. Diesel's record was set last Wednesday at over $5.57 per gallon. Here's how that impacts inflation, the rising prices for goods.
It could be gasoline, it could be diesel, it could be jet fuel. So, but that fuel is eventually going to be distributed. Right now, those tank levels are pretty low, though.
Is that concerning for you?
Absolutely.
These oil tanks in New York Harbor sit at alarmingly low levels not seen in 30 years as demand outpaces supply.
Over there.
This is one of seven critical fuel points across the country, supplying our nation's gas stations, planes, trucks, and homes, critical to fueling the U.S. supply chain.
And really high diesel prices get passed on to the consumer. And whether that's for construction, whether that's for delivering groceries to the grocery store where you're going to buy whatever it is you need.
U.S. diesel prices are already at record highs, with particular pain here in the Northeast. And now with tankers like these exporting much-needed diesel to Europe instead of supplying the U.S., prices are spiking higher. But there are also fewer U.S. diesel refineries after years of closures to make up that difference in supply.
Right now, there's just a global shortage of diesel. It's really tight.
Katie Child, owner of Berkshire Energy Depot in New Haven, Connecticut, is responsible for setting the price of diesel here.
How does it feel to have to make the price higher every day?
You can see the pain in their face when they come in and see the price, and you apologize and say, I'm sorry, and there's nothing I can do about it.
She's a small business owner who services other small businesses and says the record prices have lost her customers.
When prices are high, people shop around more. Oh, you save, you know, 10 cents down the road, you're going to go there.
Hudson Square Pharmacy back in New York is also facing the same problem. Everything from cereal to toilet paper is more expensive.
We do pay a gas surcharge, too. Now that gas has gone up a lot, we notice on our bills $2, $3, $5 surcharge for gasoline.
That extra charge has to be recouped from somewhere.
Once the prices become a little too much, then we just have to pass it on to the consumer.
But the consumer holds some power to turn the tide of high prices. Our relentless buying and spending inflicted on a brittle supply chain are contributing to the high price of diesel.
And at some point, the consumer's going to say, all right, enough's enough. I gotta slow down because this is taking too much of my disposable income. If we do have a pullback in economic activity, that might help the kind of level off supplies, but for the time being, things are really tight.
10-second trivia. Which of these animals symbolizes a lasting decline in the stock market? Bull, turtle, bear, or pig? A bear market can describe a condition when stock prices drop for a sustained amount of time. So far, this year has not been a good one for the U.S. stock market. Continued inflation, rising interest rates, global instability, worries about a possible recession, which is an economic downturn, all of these have been factors in why major indexes like the Dow Jones have taken a significant hit in 2022. Another index you hear a lot about is the S&P 500, or the Standard & Poor's 500. It tracks the stocks of 500 large American companies, and last Friday, the S&P 500 temporarily sank into the territory of a bear market.
So we talk about being in a bear market.
People were panicking.
The market is not functioning properly.
What exactly is a bear market? It's when stocks drop 20% from a recent high. When we talk about the overall stock market, we usually look at a broad index like the S&P 500. But individual stocks or commodities can also fall into a bear market if they decline 20%. A bear market is different from a correction. That's a 10% decline. So if the S&P falls into a bear market, it's already had a correction and then fallen another 10%. Since World War II, there have been 14 bear markets for the S&P 500. A bear market doesn't always signal a severe economic downturn. In the last 40 years, 4 bear markets have occurred without a recession. But the drops that coincide with recessions tend to be worse. The good news is bear markets don't tend to last as long as bull markets. The average lasted 339 days and declined nearly 32%. But history shows it takes about a year for stocks to fully bounce back.
The S&P 500 did bounce back a bit on Friday. After temporarily meeting that bear market definition, the index ended the day at 19% below its high in January, so just shy of bear market territory. But the recent drop is its biggest since March of 2020 when the COVID pandemic was sinking in. And the NASDAQ, a different index, is already in a bear market. Its stocks are down 30% from their recent high last fall. So all this will be closely watched. After a 3-year hiatus, the Tram Driver Championship returned to Europe over the weekend, and what a championship it was. One event involved tram pool, bump the queue, and try to get the ball to roll to the middle. Another looks like a tram version of bowling, though I'm not sure the whole train was supposed to smack the pins. There's the no hands, did she program in enough braking power to stop in time event? She did not. But if you want to see what a perfect tram stop looks
like, wow
is right. 500 points for this masterful maneuver. Sometimes there was too much speed, sometimes there wasn't enough. But if your favorite kind of transport is tram sport, and you're not afraid of the tramifications of trampling the compa-tramption, train your eyes on an event that tracks the best conductors as they tow the line with the trolleying cry of keeping it rail. Old Orchard Junior High School is keeping it rail. Shout out to our viewers in Skokie, Illinois, and thank you for your requests on our YouTube channel. I'm Carl Azus.